Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Stefan Lingue of Wood & Co. Please go ahead. Mr. Lingue, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Stefan. Yes,
we can hear you well.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, because I can hear you. Sorry, there was a problem in my headset. Yeah, first of all, congrats on the results and welcome, Eugen. Just two quick questions. Would you say that the growth performance in the first quarter would make you reconsider the full-year guidance in terms of growth? And the second question is, how would you see the Vismos acquisition fit with the current portfolio? Would you see the wine being produced under current existing brands category, or would this be a completely different brand, and how would it position in terms of pricing and everything? Thank you.
Yeah, John, I'll take the first one because it's a board matter for us, the set of the guidance, and Victor will address the Vismos acquisition. On the guidance, I have to be open. We had a bit of a debate internally at the last board in terms of the guidance, and I'll just repeat what Victor said. Last year, we blew it on the guidance. If you may remember, we gave a guidance, you know, that started with 24% growth. In the end, we made 20% for the year, you know, and that's we learn from that. We don't like over-promising and under-delivering, so we'd rather do the opposite. So this time, we've set, I think, the guidance with enough margin for error. We set it as 18.22. Now we are at 29. We see we had a good April. The orders for May and the sales as of today in May are also very strong. So far, we things look, say, in line with first quarter. At the same time, we are not ready to up our guidance simply because we'd rather, say, surprise on the positive side than repeat the last year's story. Maybe it's wise, maybe it's not, but at least that's so the board decided to err on the conservative side this year.
Okay, I will give an answer on the second question about the Vismos deal. As I mentioned, it was an asset deal, asset purchase, so everything we will produce will be on Purka and Bostavan brands. I just want to mention that half of Vismos vineyards are white grape varieties, which varieties used mainly by Purkar brands. So this will help to boost our sales of white and white wines, which, you know, the sales of white wines of Purkar are very strong. And the second, the other vineyards are of red grapes varieties, and the location of this production platform is located in the heart of red grapes varieties. So we see a strong demand for red wines, and we are preparing to be able to make a push in selling for red wines. So this is mainly an asset deal.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, and good luck on the next one. Well done, guys.
Maybe just to add on this one, sorry, because we didn't give too many details. So if you look at the key numbers to retain from this Vismos acquisition it's a tranche deal. So in the first phase, we paid 750,000, and we have a delayed component to be paid until March 2020 for a total of 2.2 million euros. And if you think that it's 260 hectares plus a production platform for 8,000 tons of grapes processing capacity, which is 6.7 million bottles of wine equivalent, so you're getting effectively the land alone would cost more because the typical cost of per hectare of vineyards is much higher than what we paid for it now. And we're getting the production platform as a bonus on top. So I think it's a great acquisition. It's a testament to the very, very, say, diligent way the company does acquisitions without overpaying and actually always extracting very, very low prices on such acquisitions.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Caius Rapanu of BCR. Please go ahead.
Hello. Again, congratulations not only on the great quarter, but honestly on the quality of your communication with the investors and analysts and your IR efforts. I mean, it's really outstanding compared to other players. My question was in terms of volume growth. I see that so far your acquisition policy has been opportunistic, but I was wondering if you have a target in terms of acreage acquisition and the type of volume growth that you want to have, let's say, like 5 years old from now or something. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just to clarify the question, though, do you ask about the volume growth in terms of sales, or you ask about capacity in terms of vineyards?
Capacity in terms of vineyards. I mean, the capacity of production capacity that you are looking at in the medium term, let's say. I mean, is it determined by the opportunistic acquisitions that you are going to make, or you have a certain target in mind where you want to be in terms of simply acreage and liters of production?
So if you think about the history of the company, we traditionally have been mostly producing in-house. At some point, we go to about 50-50. Which means that 50% you grow your own grapes and 50% you either acquire third-party grapes and process them on your platforms, or you acquire bulk. So you may remember in our previous communication, we said that our strategy is to move completely out of buying bulk. It's too fickle and too dangerous a strategy. If you rely too much on bulk, you cannot always control the quality. In the end, the quality of the wine is primarily about the quality of the wine base you have. So we decided to move completely out of buying bulk and producing our own wine. Then you have two options. You can grow the grapes yourself, and you can buy them from third parties. So last year was the first time when we bought significant amounts from third parties, to the point that we got to about a 60-40 split. So we're 60% purchased from third parties, 40% grown on our territories. I think this is the kind of split. You know, it can go to 70-30, but this is the rough split we would like to keep, which means that from time to time, when we find an opportunity to make an acquisition at a very attractive price for vineyards, we'll do so. But I want to assure you again, and we've said it in all our calls, the quality of the third-party grapes we source is comparable to what we grow in-house, because we are typically in these long-term contracts with farmers. We have our agronomists overseeing their operations, you know, so throughout the year, We help them acquire cheaper. We help them acquire cheaper crop protection chemicals. Though I don't like this word chemicals. You understand, crop protection basically products for the vineyards using our purchasing power. So that's why they like to work with us. So the short answer to your question, we'll keep it to 60-40, 70-30 in terms of third-party and own grapes, and we'll acquire only opportunistically when we can really extract very good price on the vineyards, both in Romania, as we do with Hush now, and Moldova, which overall has a lower cost base than in Romania. Maybe, Victor, you can add something to this.
No, I have nothing to add. This is true. This is what we want to do. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer.
Again, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. And there are no further questions at this time. We have a question from the line of Daniela Cilari of Banca Transylvania Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, and congrats for a good result. So I have a question about your international market. So you had a very strong performance in Poland and Asia. My question is, could we expect the same strong results in Poland? And as far as I read, you are planning to open a new office in Asia, in Shanghai. Could you please give us some more details on this? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniela. The opening of the Asian office is planned for Q2. We have a local representative there already, so that has been working for us for a while. So the legal entity is to be formally set up in Q2. Indeed, we're encouraged by the start of the year in Asia, but we believe we're very, very, we have a very, very small share in terms of the total size of the opportunity, which is much, much larger, you can imagine. So at the moment, it's about, 1 liter per capita consumption in China, when the equivalent of even non-wine drinking countries in Europe, say like Poland, which is at around five liters per capita. And apart from China, we have very good results in South Korea. So South Korea is actually a market where we've been working systemically for longer. So we have very reliable recurrent sales and growth in that market. So it demonstrates that our wines are competitive in that region. And in Poland, we've always said we want Poland to become a new Romania. Size-wise, it's almost as large a market as Romanian one. They have a larger population but lower consumption per capita. The growth is as good as in Romania in terms of the market growth. So I think we have all the ingredients to keep being successful in the Polish market. We don't lose our touch with reality by this 49% growth in Poland. Yes, it's large, but we consider it still to be from a low base. So we still have a lot of work to do there to get to where we want to be. So basically, we want Poland to become a new Romania, and which means dominating the premium segment and having a very strong local presence.
Okay, thank you very much, and good luck with your strategy.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Stefan Lungu of Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Maybe another quick one. Could you discuss a bit the split between price growth and volume growth in the quarter? Thank you.
Victor?
Hello.
Hello. Usually this information is quite sensitive, but I will give some main data. Our volume is increased by 13%, and this increase is on all markets. And the main increase is on Purcari brand, and followed by Barbar and Crama Ceptura. Regarding Stefan, just a second, because I want to open the spreadsheet to have in front of me. So
yeah, definitely no problem. Just high level.
Regarding values, yeah, our increase is 29%, and the fastest growing brands are Bostavan and Purcari. Purcari with 35%. You can you have actually this information on page 18 of the presentation. Yeah. And regarding the volumes, liters, we have increased in 21%, and Bostavan and Purkarch are leaders in growing by volumes. All the markets are increasing in volume. I don't know if we can provide more details per market and per brand, because you know this is quite sensitive information for markets, so we usually give only general information.
No, definitely. That's okay. That's all good from my side. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from a line of Catalin Daikonu of Raffson Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. So I have also a couple of questions. So the first one would be, what would be the growth in the Czech Republic and Slovakia adjusted for the buffer stock that was required by the key partner? So that would be the first one. The second one was that I saw a lot of aggressive discounts in the Romania retailers, especially for the Purcari brand. We're talking about 20-30% off. So I was wondering if did it come from the producer or was it all in the hands of the retailers? And a third one would be how the agricultural year is shaping up. So first I would be a bit worried about what happened, especially in Romania in Delu Mare. So we had some hail. So I don't know what happened in the last month with all the vineyards. And yeah, that's about it for now. Thank you.
I'll take the market questions, and Victor will take the agricultural one. First of all, in Romania, indeed, just for the context for the other colleagues on the call who are not from Romania, you could see Purcari on heavy discounts in a number of Romanian chains, especially before Easter. I have to say our Romania team is actually concerned about this. The short answer, this is retailer-driven, not producer-driven. We never gave a discount or had a promotion for Purcari brand. It's a premium brand. We believe that if you start discounting it, that's a path nowhere. So we try to differentiate via you know, quality and the quality of the our marketing communication, but we never give discounts or this 2+1, 3+1 type of offers. So it's purely retailer driven. It helps us on the volume. We don't like it too much because it creates it starts creating tension within the market. So at some point, you know, your wine in Metro can cost less than the price from certain of the regional distributors. So it starts creating tensions. So we cannot influence it. You understand? It's because of the competition laws. But so we cannot influence it, but we don't like it. That I can say honestly, despite us making good volumes on it. On just the second question of the buffer stock in Slovakia, yes, there was a large shipment to Tesco. At the same time, I would not give you an exact percentage at the moment, but it's not say. It doesn't account for the largest part of that growth. So it accounts for a portion of that growth, but a relatively, say, modest portion. It's clearly not driven primarily by that Tesco account. Victor, on the weather, the question about the hail and the weather and how the weather shapes out this year.
Yeah, as of today, our vineyards are in very good conditions. That's through winter season and the winter freezing very well. So all workings are done. If to compare with the last year, we can observe a period of 2 weeks later development in of the vines. So this means that probably we will get a later harvesting period, but this is usually better for quality. So regarding sale in Romania, we don't have a problem, and we hope to not have it in the summer.
Okay, I understood. Thank you.
A final reminder to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question comes from the line of Marko Deljevev of SEB. Please go ahead.
Hello. So first of all, also congrats from my side on excellent numbers. I wanted to ask a bit more if you could elaborate on your strategy in Poland and efforts going and more focusing and entering that market more strongly. So what is kind of the strategy for this year and next year in Poland, and what would you try to achieve there? I mean, do you have set any sales targets in terms of share of your total sales volume in Poland? If you could just explain how do you look at that market and that opportunity, because previously I believe that was one of the kind of a core focus areas core markets that you wanted to attack. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. Indeed, that's a very good question. And Poland, I would say it's clearly a top two priority for us next to continue our growth in Romania. So let me just tell you the facts about Poland at the moment. We sell to four accounts directly as part of direct shipments, bypassing distributors. These are four large accounts, four large retail chains in Poland, and the rest we cover mainly via two distributors. So that's our current setup. We are mostly present in the mainstream segment. We only started attacking the premium segment with Purcari, and we have very high growth there, but you understand it's from a small base. So that's the situation. Now, where we want to get from there? Our strategy is the following. We need additional scale, so we need to still grow our sales in that market to justify a meaningful local presence of a staff there, of a meaningful office there. So the moment we have local offices in Bucharest covering Romania and in Moldova covering Moldova, because we believe we have the scale in those markets to justify the presence of those offices. You know, we are always very cost conscious as a company. So before we have that scale, we don't believe such investments are justified. So we operate those markets at the moment from distance. Of course, we do a lot of marketing activities jointly with the distributors and the retail chains, but we still need more growth there before we go big and set up an office. That would be a very short summary in terms of the strategy. In terms of share of sales, at the moment Poland is at 13% share of sales. I think when we went public, the percentage of Poland as in our portfolio was at 9-10%. So we grew at about 3 percentage points in Poland. I see Poland soon overtaking Moldova and being our number two market. Probably, if I would give you a target share of our sales, and please don't be too tough on that on this number, but in terms of how exact it is, but the number is around 20%. So I believe Poland should be around 20% of our sales in a steady state mode. And the last thing to say about Poland is of course the reason we need the local presence there, because the only way to build a strong premium brand is by having local presence. So at the moment we don't push a lot on the premium segment. Developing a premium brand is expensive and takes time. So we'll do this only after we achieve the meaningful scale I was referring to.
And if I may ask a follow-up question, so last year was a very favorable operating environment for you because, I mean, you had the volumes while the market in general from Western European suppliers, they had difficulties in supplying volume. So it was fairly easy, I guess, to gain market share. But this year, I guess it would be a bit more even playing field. Or how would you describe the market this year, your views, how it's going to play out, and your strategy in this maybe a bit more difficult environment? I mean, of course, Q1 numbers were really outstanding, but do you think it's easy to maintain this with others like Western Europeans having the volumes as well now?
A very good question again for the context, maybe for the other colleagues, is indeed 2017 was globally a poor harvest. So in 2008, globally a poor harvest, and in Romania and Moldova, it was an excellent harvest. So in over 2018, we had the edge in terms of available volume. So we gained share, but very importantly, we opened doors that were not open previously to us. So in that sense, I think we capitalized on those open doors last year, and this is in terms of chain percent penetration taking place on the shelf, taking share of shelf, and in 2019 we're capitalizing actually on that. So it's not that you have the benefit a year and then it disappears. It doesn't disappear. That's one factor. The second factor, which is very important, actually the pricing environment is a little bit better than we expected. So. You know, the prices went up in 2018, but then they didn't automatically go aggressively down in 2019 because also the winemakers enjoyed the healthier margins and didn't rush to lower the prices. Frankly, to produce good wine, you have to invest a lot in capex in innovation. So we were actually very pleased that the pricing environment remains a favorable one. So in that sense, I think we've been surprised on the positive side in terms of the readjustment of the market in 2019, which was less of a readjustment than we expected.
Thank you very much.
And there are no further questions at this time.